people responding to a CBS New York Times poll say they think the federal deficit will be larger when George Bush leaves office. And the Bush administration's new Medicare drug prescription program, which the Bush administration said would save money for millions, is not inspiring much optimism. 51% say they think seniors will pay more for prescription drugs in 3 years. Bush is viewed unfavorably by 48% in this survey, favorably by only 37%. As he gets ready for his sixth State of the Union address next week, the survey has a margin of error, plus or minus 3 percentage points. The U.S. says an upcoming international aid conference will not include any contact with delegates from Iran. The two-day conference in London comes just before the showdown next week on whether to send Iran to the U.N. Security Council over its disputed nuclear program. Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns says the no-contact policy even holds if Iran wants to talk about its nuclear program. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is leading the U.S. delegation to the London Conference on International Aid for Rebuilding Afghanistan. Iran claims its nuclear program is only to produce energy. President Evo Morales of Bolivia cut his salary in half and declared no cabinet minister can make more than he does. The savings would be used to hire more public school teachers. This move followed a campaign pledge by Morales to tackle political corruption and restore honesty to the government of South America's poorest country. Critics call it a propaganda ploy. 5 days into his new government, Morales announced his salary will be cut to just over $1,800 a month, and his cabinet would also have their figures capped. This is Air America Radio News.
me a boss. Cause I got a good feeling, and I don't feel no pain at all. Right in my day.
Hey, good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to all the Republican right-wing lurkers who hang in the shadows, touching themselves in inappropriate places while they listen to the program. If you folks want to join in tonight, you can too. A lot of phone calls tonight, Truth Seekers. It was a very strong, intense news week, and we covered a lot of ground, but we did not have a chance to hear from folks the way talk radio should work. So I just want to let you know we're going to be taking a lot of calls tonight. So the phone number is 866-303-2270. Jump in and join us if the spirit moves you. Hamas, Alito, the upcoming State of the Union speech, Abramoff, Robert Byrd, filibusters, NSA spying, Pentagon lying about troop levels, the Conyers hearing, Oprah's book club, you know, whatever. Just bring it on. I want to say right here at the beginning of the program, we'll mention this a couple of times, this effort to stop Alito needs an infusion of energy. All the information you need is at Democrats.com. Now, there's all sorts of websites to go to get phone numbers and who to call and what's this and up, down, side. Just go to Democrats.com. All the information is there about what needs to be done. A lot of good websites have this information, but the easiest way for me is just Democrats.com. Check it out. There has to be an effort made. I mean, there just has to be. A couple of items before we go to the phone calls from David in California. I think he's from California. No, David is in Canada. David writes, "Hello, Mike. Tonight on the news, it is reported that Cindy Sheehan will be challenging Dianne Feinstein for the U.S. Senate race in California." Well, that's good. That means this November, that gives Cindy Sheehan about 6-7 months to get it together. I hope she does. If I lived in California, I would contribute time and energy. Once she gets something set up in a website or whatever, I will certainly send some money. So that would be... This is what we're talking about, getting rid of Democrats who are Democrats when they feel like it, and other times they are not. Either you're a member of the Democratic Party or you're not. If you're not, get the hell out. You know, go be an independent or go be a Republican or whatever you need to do. But, you know, have the kind of integrity that Jim Jeffords had. Okay? Jim Jeffords could not be a Republican. And he didn't necessarily feel like he wanted to be a Democrat, so he became an independent. So, I just suggest to people like Lieberman and Feinstein, not that they're going to listen to me, but Lieberman and Feinstein and this rat bastard Joe Biden, get out of the party. You're nothing but a drag on the Democratic Party. Don't you understand? Get out. Go become an independent. Jesus. Ann Coulter should be arrested and charged with threatening a United States Supreme Court justice. I suppose everybody has heard about this now. She was in Arkansas addressing a bunch of college people, I guess, and she said that Justice John Paul Stevens should be poisoned. Now, can you imagine, let's pause for a second, supposing I or Randy Rhodes or Sam Cedar got on the air and said, "You know, we think Clarence Thomas should be poisoned." Jesus Christ, how long would it take, Kathy, for the Secret Service to be at the door here? Man, Glenn Beck gets on the air and says he'd like to strangle Michael Moore with his bare hands. And people get pissed off because I call them all sons of bitches or use the kind of vile language I use on this program. I know my language sucks, but too bad. If it's too strong for you, go away. Coulter was addressing the audience at Philander Smith College. Now, it says here it's predominantly or traditionally black college. I just have to ask the folks at Philander Smith College, why do you bring on this white bitch? What does she have to say in her vast experience as just an absolute raging misogynistic, hate-filled, psychotic Republican neo-Nazi conservative. What does she have to say to black college students or white college students or Latino or anybody? The only people who should be listening to Ann Coulter are these right-wing males, all of them pale and most of them paunchy, who just would like to, you know, maybe get with Ann Coulter. My God. Coulter, while she was addressing this group, said, we need somebody to put rat poisoning in Justice Stevens' creme brulee. And then she had, that's just a joke for you in the media. Well, I'll tell you what, Ann, you need to be hanged. You need to be cut into a million pieces. You need to die in a train wreck. You need to have a shark bite off your legs. Oh, just kidding! You need to have your head smashed by a cement truck. You need to fall down an elevator shaft and die a slow, horrible death when you hit the bottom. You need to get botulism poisoning. You need to have snakes slither over your body and bite. Just kidding, Ann! Just kidding! Michael Savage, former MSNBC pundit, tells gay people to go die of AIDS or choke on a sausage. Neil Bortz, this nasty bastard here in Atlanta, suggests that displaced homeless Hurricane Katrina victims should get off the public dole and go become whores to pay their hotel bills. Right-wing talk hosts are all about love, aren't they? Huh? Tell you what, Ann, you need to be stopped on the street in Washington, D.C. and a gun crammed down your throat and your ass blown off. Just kidding, Ann. Just kidding, baby. You need to go into a restaurant and have them serve you tuna fish that's full of poison. Just kidding, Ann. Just kidding.
What, we can't have a little humor?
Sure, let's get in the spirit.
Hey, Ann, you need to have your whole family taken out behind the house and butchered to death. Do you have family? You got nieces and nephews? You got a mommy and a daddy? They need to have their heads cut off, Ann, and their arms and their feet.
Just kidding.
Just kidding, Ann.
Just a little humor. Whew. Can't you be arrested for threatening the life of the United States? Well, no, I guess not. Anybody on this network who would threaten the life of Supreme Court justice would... can you imagine if Sam Cedar said that Justice Scalia should choke to death on his snot or something? How quickly somebody would be there to see Sam? From Mike in Maine, Mike writes, Mike, did you see the pathetic ass-kissing, neocon-slurping, stomach-turning love fest between Bush and Bob Schieffer tonight on CBS News? I did. And Mike says, here's the email I sent to applaud CBS's patriotic surrender to total evil. Dear CBS News, what a revolting, syncopanic interview. Washington is awash in scandal. Iraq is awash in blood. Parents of American soldiers are awash in anxiety and grief. Americans in America are awash in debt. Big oil is awash in profit. But heck, what better time for Bob Schieffer to schedule a little good old boy time with W, chatting about the wife and the good old days when Bush would drive through garages and stuff.
What a pathetic, pandering, softball, soft-focused bunch of baloney. CBS wins the Karl Rove Friendly Emmy. Hands down, you should be ashamed. Nice letter, Mike.
Yeah, I saw that. I couldn't believe it, because lately Schieffer has been... You know, I started thinking, well, maybe... You know, I know he's from Texas. I know he's conservative. I know one of his family members works in the Bush something. I understand. But Schieffer, it seemed to me, was getting to the point where he was trying to be a little bit more fair and balanced. Never mind. So there he is on national television, an old man like him, doing for Bush what Monica used to do for Clinton. It was just embarrassing. I hated to see it. Oh, well. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. We have a lot of traveling to do tonight.
Hey! Colder!
I'll tell you what. Come on over, bitch. I'd like to cut your head off. Just kidding. Just kidding, Ann.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited-time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh. justice and the American way. It's more of Mike Mallory.
Hey, Ann, I'd like to break all your arms and shove a knife in your belly button. Just kidding. Just kidding. A little humor there.
21 past the hour. Okay, already we're 21 minutes in the hour, into the hour, and I may have already made a gross error. I just got an email here from a couple of people said that Cindy Sheehan is not running for Senate. She is backing a Green Party candidate. Todd Chrétien says a major leader of the U.S. anti-war movement formally launched his campaign for U.S. Senate in San Francisco on December 15th before a large crowd of cheering supporters. He's going to challenge Feinstein. And there's a picture of Cindy Sheehan with Todd Chrétien. So my... You can check it out yourself. It's Todd, T-O-D-D, numeral 4, Senate.org. So my writer in Calgary, or in Canada, may have heard that she was going to challenge Dianne Feinstein. I mean, my letter from David is essentially true. Cindy Sheehan will be challenging Dianne Feinstein. It's just that she'll be challenging Feinstein from the position of helping a candidate. So, okay, don't, please, you know, I can see it now. There's already word all over the internet. Cindy Sheehan, did you hear? Cindy Sheehan's running for Senate. I don't know if she is or not, but it appears that she's backing the Green Party candidate who will be running against Dianne Feinstein. That's all. Okay? Email from DGT. Mike, this is my first contact with you. I'm a 67-year-old retired Navy commander and carrier naval aviator. I must observe that the so-called democracy our nation has tripped and fallen into is not the democracy I spent 21 years defending against communism. Damn, this hurts. My oldest daughter is nearly 43. In high school, she was considered a gifted student. I don't know what has happened, but she thinks W is just great. When I try to find out why, she says it's my opinion, and I don't want to get into political discussions with you. Even though I promised to avoid politics, she no longer visits or calls me on the phone. My calls to her are brief because, insert any number of excuses. Damn, this hurts. I see and read about my comrades in arms getting beat up in Iraq, a place you and I know we don't belong. They're getting ragged because of the losses they are taking. Tours in Iraq are more frequent because there are fewer troops. This war is being run by the evil administration of Cheney, Rummy, and the moron. Our troops' equipment is wearing out. Rummy says if any senior officer in the field wants more troops, all he has to do is ask. If he asks, he's immediately reassigned to an early retirement. Damn, this hurts. I turn to you to seek the truth, to verify things I've heard. You speak the truth, but damn, this hurts. I've called my senator's local offices about filibuster. I will now call the 2-888 numbers and repeat my appeal. I know my senators won't cave in, Boxer and Feinstein. But if too many do, and Alito is seated, damn, that's going to hurt too. Thank you, DGT. That's one thing that Bush has inspired in this country, I think, because I get not a few emails like this where family members, it's either the parents who no longer speak to the 30 or 40-something kids, or it's the 30 or 40-something kids who no longer speak to the parents, because of what Bush has done. A couple more very quick here. From Suzanne in L.A. Good evening, Mike. Being a visual learner, I checked out a copy of 1984 at my local library so I could follow along as you read it. The librarian noted the title, smiled, and looked up at me. He then asked me, looking to be prepared?
Ooh. That's better than looking up at her and saying, excuse me, citizen, what are you doing with a copy of this book? I must now notify NSA by pushing this little red button under my desk with my knee.
No, that's only if you buy Catcher in the Rye. From Paul, Micah just called and emailed my senators in New Mexico to urge them to vote their conscience and support a Kerry-led filibuster of Samuel Alito. For both calls, I got a representative instead of the expected voicemail. There was only one phone number for each, and the number was not busy in either case. I hope that's not an indication of apathy on this issue among my fellow New Mexicans and Americans. I fear it is. The representative for our Republican Senator Domenici knew Domenici's stance in Alito and told me he intends to support the nomination. I expressed my feelings that he reconsider just the same, but are these people even taking notes? Are they really registering public opinion at all? As for Bingaman, our Democratic senator, his representative had absolutely no idea what Bingaman's stance on Alito was. Yet another Democrat out to lunch. Incredible. I have absolutely no sense that my efforts made any difference at all except to comfort my own conscience. That counts for nothing when compared to what's at stake here. My fear, Mike, is that it's game over, and that it would leave America with only one language left to speak, one that even a neocon could understand, one completely devoid of nuance. Paul. I'm not sure. This next email, I'm not sure what the point is, but I'm going to... No, I guess I don't have time, but we'll do it when we come back. And I only have a couple more of these, and then we're going to go to your phone calls, all right? So if you're getting online, that's good. Phone number, once again, 866-303-2270. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Tree-hugging, love-making, pro-choice and gay wedding, widespread digging hippies like me. Color-blinded, conspiracy-minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservative Christians, right-wing Republicans.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Dear Gold Bond, my husband's a carpenter.
And my hands were rough as sandpaper. Here's a real letter from Jean and Tom of New Jersey about our Ultimate Healing Lotion. Then she got me Gold Bond Ultimate.
It works better than any lotion we've ever used.
Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion penetrates fast to help heal rough, cracked skin with 7 intensive moisturizers plus 3 vitamins. It's long-lasting, too.
Now his hands are almost smoother than mine.
Can your lotion do that? Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion. This stuff really works.
It really does.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AliveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, to put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Whew. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard, now in 3 sizes at CVS and other stores.
You know, it's amazing how many things you can do online these days. Plastic surgery online is still a few years off, but I bet they're working on it. And what about doing all your car insurance business online? Well, it's already here. At Geico.com, you can do most everything. Change drivers, change cars, change coverage, change your oil. I made that last one up. Geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Before the hour. In addition to torture and summary executions and holding people for no reason, we also hold hostages now. We talked about this, I think this is about a year ago, Kathy, but the story has resurfaced as a result of some documents released by the Department of Defense in an ACLU FOIA case. The U.S. Army in Iraq has at least twice seized and jailed the wives of suspected insurgents in hopes of leveraging their husbands into surrender. In one case, a secretive task force locked up the young mother of a nursing baby. The U.S. intelligence officer reported, in the case of a second detainee, one American colonel suggested to another that they catch her husband by tacking a note to the family's door telling him to, quote, come get his wife, end quote. The issue of female detentions in Iraq has taken on a higher profile since kidnappers seized American journalist Jill Carroll on January 7th and threatened to kill her unless all Iraqi women detainees are freed. The U.S. military on Thursday freed five of what it said were 11 women among the 14,000 detainees currently held. All were accused of, quote, aiding terrorists or planting explosives, end quote, but an Iraqi government commission found that there was no evidence. Iraqi human rights activist Hind al-Salehi contends that U.S. anti-insurgent units coming up empty-handed in raids on suspects' houses have at times detained wives to pressure men into turning themselves in. A U.S. command spokesman in Baghdad, Lieutenant Colonel Barry Johnson, said only Iraqis who pose, quote, an imperative threat, end quote, are held in long-term U.S.-run detention facilities, but documents describing two episodes in 2004 tell a different story as far as short-term detentions. The documents are among hundreds the Pentagon has released periodically under U.S. court order to meet an ACLU request for information on detention practices. In one memo, a civilian Pentagon intelligence officer described what happened when he took part in a raid on an Iraqi suspect's house on May 9, 2004. The raid involved Task Force 626, a secretive military unit formed to handle high-profile targets. The 14-year veteran officer, he's a civilian, wrote, during the pre-operation brief, it was recommended by task force personnel that if the wife were present, she'd be detained and held in order to leverage the primary target's surrender. The civilian Pentagon intelligence officer said he objected, but when they raided the house, the team leader, a senior sergeant, seized her anyway. The officer went on to say the 28-year-old woman had three young children at the house, one being as young as 6 months and still nursing. She was held for 2 days and was released after he complained. And it goes on. I'll be a son of a bitch. How does it, you know, I'm so sick of hearing a blanket term, American heroes, in reference to people in the uniform. I'm sorry, guys and gals, I'm sorry. I know a lot of you are there fighting this filthy war because you joined the reserves of the National Guard in order to make a few extra bucks or get your education taken care of, and then these son of a bitch Nazis took power in the United States, and now you find yourself in a hot zone. I'm sorry it happened to you. I really am. If I were in the military now, I would walk away. I would. I'm not advising you to do it. I would. If I were an officer, I would resign my commission. It's that simple. This is not a war. This is an act. This is an atrocity. This is murder of innocents. This is something that the U.S. military should hang its head in shame over. Every night, I watch this on CBS News, the nights I watch, in memory of, how long has this been going on now? They take another dead soldier and give him a 30-second profile. Blown up by a roadside the explosive device. Blown to a million pieces by an RPG. These are dead Americans. And the atrocities that are being committed in Iraq because the atrocities are being ordered by Rumsfeld and Cheney, these cowardly sons of bitches who back in the 70s couldn't stand it when the church committee said, okay, that's enough. Rumsfeld is a coward. Rumsfeld is a coward, and so is Cheney. And then they have this moron Bush between the two of them. And they are degrading the United States military. They are exposing it to charges of brutality and torture and dishonor. This is horrifying. I've tried to be a supporter of the military all my life. Almost went in, decided, no, ain't going to Vietnam. As it turned out, didn't have to. I was married and had kids. But they came for me anyway. I went through the procedure. I took the physical. I took all the tests. I was on my way to OCS and then decided, nah, to hell with this. And then I got told by my draft board, you don't have to go. And I wouldn't have. But I've tried to show respect for the United States military for as long as I've been able to think. And when I was a young man, oh yeah, like most young men, really gets the testosterone pumping, doesn't it? Hey, uniforms and guns and excitement and boom, boom, smash, smash. I feel sorry for any young man who joins the military in these times. You are joining an organization that is run by vampires. You are joining an organization that has absolutely zero respect for the military. And wait till you are mustered out, soldier. Wait till you come home with a leg missing. Wait till you find out what's waiting for you in the Veterans Administration. Sick of this. And these right-wing cowardly sons of bitches back here in the United States, whether it's Rick Santorum or Sean Hannity or any of these little piglets running around squealing who never took the chance to don the uniform, pick up a weapon, and go get their ass blown away. You criticize the military, not the soldiers, the military. And Rick Santorum or Sean Hannity or this drug-addled pig, Rush Limbaugh, will be on you like white on rice. Ah, you don't support the military. Ah, you're a traitor. Sean Hannity urinates on the military. Rush Limbaugh laughs about it. Henry Kissinger talked about the uselessness of soldiers. Oh, we just take the poor and throw them into the meat grinder. We don't give a damn. Rumsfeld said the same thing. These are hate-filled, disgusting bastards who are destroying whatever honor the United States military still maintained after the horror of Vietnam. And I can't do it anymore. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I don't care. I don't care what the situation is. The United States military is not an honorable organization. I'm not saying that there are not honorable individuals who are caught up into this horrible torture, killing, hostage-taking, napalming, white phosphorus machine. There may be a few. God, I can't stand this. These bastards are killing my country. They are murdering my country. They're destroying everything, this Bush crime family. Everything. Everything they touch, everything they come near. The stench of their murder is all over everything. Education, the military, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the environment. Everything these bastards touch, they ruin. Take hostages. Snatch the wife. You filthy bastards. And you soldiers who do this, shame on you. Shame on you. You know it's illegal. You know it's disgusting. Does that bring honor to the United States Marine Corps when you take a woman who's nursing her baby and hold her as a hostage? Does it? Does it bring honor to the United States Army? When you round up wives and leave notes on the door, hey, asshole, you want to come and get your wife? Is that what this United States military has become? Does it bring honor to the uniform when you strip men naked who have been charged with nothing, smear them with feces, pile them into piles, lead them around on leashes? Is that honorable, soldier? Damn.
You better put some music on. I got to stop right here. Put it on. Put it on. Bush stands up there and says, we don't torture. You lying bastard. Put some music on, Kathy. Man, I can't. I get so furious, especially about the military. This is where people go to defend the country. This is where people go to put their lives on the line. And this Bush crime family has urinated all over the uniforms of the United States military. Ah, you filthy pigs.
But I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. We'll be right back.
man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Let's do some phone calls. Starting with Janice, who's calling from Huntsville, Alabama. Hey, Janice, welcome to the program.
Darling, how in the world are you doing?
I'm about to blow a gasket.
It kind of sounds that way, honey. Take some aspirin and don't call me in the morning.
Yeah, really.
Hey, listen, I got to tell you, the little musical interlude after the Ann Coulter rant.
Yeah.
She looks like a lady.
Right.
That's only if you're an NFL player on steroids.
I know. That's my genius producer, Kathy,
honey,
who selects the music.
That woman couldn't be any dumber if you cut her head off.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about the military. My father was a career military man, and he got out after Eisenhower left office. Remember Eisenhower's great speech in 1971?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Warning about the military-industrial complex.
Right.
Well, what do you think we're facing now?
Something much worse.
Basically, it's run amok.
Yeah, Eisenhower had no way of knowing the extent to which this hideous octopus, the so-called defense industry that produces junk. You know, ever since we developed nuclear weapons, we've never really needed a standing army. Not at all. If ever there was a time that we needed to destroy somebody, drop a bomb on them. It's awful. If Eisenhower could have looked in a crystal ball, I think he would have had a heart attack earlier than he did.
Well, you're talking about the atomic weapon. Let me tell you about my childhood.
No. Your child.
No, I'm serious.
Okay, but we don't have a lot of time here, Janice.
1963, my father moves us from mid-Missouri to Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah. That was home of the
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with, yes, ma'am, familiar with Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Absolutely.
Okay. The first day we're there. Nobody told my mother that big, huge siren hanging on a telephone pole across the street went off at 5 p.m. sharp every afternoon to let you know it was time for the men to come home.
Uh-huh.
It went off, and all of us went underneath the bed. Okay. Now, I grew up around the atomic mindset.
Yes.
It's the most horrid. It's such crap.
It is indeed. It is indeed. And my only reference, and Janice, I got to move on. We got to break here. Thanks, Janice. My only reason for referencing atomic weapons, I think they are absolutely an abomination. And if ecological breakdown doesn't get us, the byproducts of all these nukes are going to get us. But the point was simply, once that genie was released from the bottle, that hideous, huge genie. With fangs and death and, you know, just so powerfully destructive. It was something out of Hindu mythology. And and it's been with us now for, 60, 65 years. So here we are. But someone tell me the need for a standing army or Navy or Marine Corps or what we've, the only thing we've needed is a missile corps, right? And it's very simple. We mind our own damn business, and if somebody decides to mess with the United States, just drop a couple down the drain pipe. Boom, boom, and that's it. Sorry, I don't mean to sound like a warmonger, because I'm not. I'm an absolute believer in peace, to the point where I think that all militaries should stand down, all over the world, everybody, just give it a rest. For Christ's sake, we've been doing this since cave days. Whoops, I'm sorry. I know you Christian conservatives don't believe that, but it's true. All right, just go back 6,000 years to the creation of your reality. Same thing. Nothing but butchery. Nothing but butchery. Most of it perpetrated by you religious nuts. I don't care what religion you are. But that's my feeling. I'm an absolute pacifist. I'm an absolute anti-war advocate. And I know some right-wing jackass is going to send me an email and say, well, what if somebody killed your daughter? Would you be a pacifist then? That's a different thing, half-wit. You moron. I'm talking about war. I'm talking about what Bush talks about. Democracies don't declare war on each other. They don't. Ideva is calling from Tennessee. Ideva, welcome to the program. Ideva?
Hello?
Yeah, am I saying your name right, Ideva?
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, we're doing a lot better tonight than last night.
What do you mean? Because we're still on the air.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you. Ideva, we got a break, so let me tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll come back. And we'll chat when we come back at the top of the hour. If you're on hold, stick around. We're going to get you called tonight. And also, don't forget, you can go on hold now. There you go. On hold! There you go. Stay right there. Don't go away. Tonight also, we begin Chapter 3 of George Orwell's 1984. So stick around. Lots of fun and frivolity planned for you this evening. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
The debate in Washington over lobbying reform is beginning to border on the absurd. Democrats see the problem in Republican terms. Republicans see the problem in political terms. And lobbyists on K Street see the problem in terms of Jack Abramoff. Don't blame us for one rotten apple, they say. Amidst all the chatter, virtually no one is talking about Washington's systemic problem, money, and the need to raise lots of it to win elections. Forget whether members of Congress can accept a hamburger from lobbyists. Holding publicly financed elections is the only real cure for a broken political system. Luckily, Representatives David Obey and Barney Frank have introduced legislation with just that remedy. Says Obey, in general elections, there should not be a dime of private money. Their plan would bar candidates from fundraising and self-financing in their campaigns. That's the only way Main Street becomes more important than K Street. For more, visit thenation.com. I'm Ari Berman for Air America Radio.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806. Ricola!
1 in 4 adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricetin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricetin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricetin HBP. Use as directed.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The FBI arrested 2 Federal Emergency Management Agency employees today after each allegedly accepted $10,000 in cash kickbacks from a food services contractor. The U.S. attorney says the contractor notified the government of attempts to bribe him soon after he arrived in New Orleans at a FEMA camp in the Algiers neighborhood of New Orleans. U.S. attorneys saying the suspects took the contractor in a locked room to discuss how they could artificially inflate the headcount of FEMA workers taking meals at the camp, which would increase the revenue for the contractor. They told him they would need $20,000 in kickbacks to inflate those numbers. They've both been charged with soliciting bribes as public officials. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid says the Bush administration is putting the nation's cities at risk because it's too preoccupied with political problems. Speaking to a group of mayors from around the country, Harry Reid warned, quote, any one of your cities and towns could be the next New Orleans. Senator Reid says the investigation into the slow response to Hurricane Katrina is being stalled by the White House. Reid also says George Bush and Republicans in Congress rejected efforts to spend more money for emergency workers and did not restore money for extra police for cities. Four hurricanes and the drought last year in the Midwest added to the list of weather disasters that caused $1 billion or more in damage. The five events bring the total number of billion-dollar disasters to 67 since 1980, according to the National Climatic Data Center. Hurricane Katrina, at its financial toll of more than $100 billion, is now the nation's most expensive disaster in history. The storm also claimed more than 1,300 lives. The other disasters on the list, Hurricanes Wilma, Rita, and Dennis, and the drought. The $5 billion disasters in 2005, the second highest total of costly disasters in one year. Back in 1998, there were seven. George Bush named a White House advisor and a former advisor to the Federal Reserve Board today, seeking to fill two vacancies on the seven-member Fed Board of Governors. Bush announced the nomination of Randall Krosner and Kevin Warsh. Krosner is an economics professor in the University of Chicago's Graduate School of Business. Warsh is currently a special assistant to Bush for economic policy. Previously, he served as executive director at Morgan Stanley. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Email here from Tara regarding the military. Mike, I was in the military for a while. I joined the National Guard after September 11th because, like most Americans, I wanted to do my part to protect the country. I saw the towers fall in my hometown, and I felt the need to help. I had a very good civilian job, and my reasons for joining were completely altruistic. I never even took a bonus. I never went overseas, but I was in during the Afghanistan campaign. Then came the build-up to Iraq. I got sicker as I saw the lies, and I realized I'd been duped. I never voted for Bush, and I generally loathe all things Republican, but I never imagined that the president would be so evil as to use the Army as his personal goon squad. I wish I had read General Smedley Butler's War as a Racket before I signed up. I asked for a discharge from my commander and was granted one for reasons of hardship. This was due to the fact that my civilian job did not pay me when I was activated and my military pay didn't cover my bills. That was good fortune, really, and they gave me an honorable discharge. To make a long story short, I came home the other night and there was a note from the Army stuck to my door. Mind you, I live in an apartment, and a person has to be buzzed into the building, so I guess someone let him in. It said, "Call me," signed Sergeant So-and-so. They had been sending me letters telling me about all the great things I could get if I came back. But I couldn't believe that they actually personally came into my apartment. It was very creepy. Well, I called him and left a message. I said, "I don't know how you got in my building, but whatever. Look, I'm a lesbian, and I'm not going back in the closet to fight Bush's illegal war. I also have screws in my knees, so you're wasting your time and my time, and on top of that, I'm pushing 40 years old. I'm 38. At the time I had to get the screws in my knee, I thought it was horrible. Now they may be my saving grace. So you see, the military is really pursuing people aggressively because the Bush crime family has hobbled it. Mike, you and I both know that if the country was truly in danger, was truly under attack, the line for recruitment would be out the door. I'm a lesbian, but I'm an American first. I knew about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but I put that aside to try to help the country. I feel so betrayed by Bush and his crime family because they exploited our greatest shared tragedy and used it to exploit and degrade the military. I was lucky that I could get an early honorable discharge before I was sent over to Iraq. Most are not that lucky. When I see these dumb support the troops stickers on people's cars, I want to rip them to shreds. We support the troops by not sending them to die for a lie. We support the troops by sending them to war when you absolutely have to, not when you want to further a sick, greedy agenda. Next time, I'll just donate blood like the rest of New York City. Look on the bright side. When the revolution comes, I've already been trained to kill. God help us all. Tara and her last name. Yeah. And Mike in St. Paul, speaking of the Bob Schieffer interview this evening, did you hear Chucklenut's attempt to show an inkling, just a tiny bit of remorse when he spoke of the American men and women who have died in Iraq? Of course, the dumbass referred to, and by the way, he couldn't act his way out of a paper bag, the dumbass referred to the regret he has that he made a decision and now, quote, some kids, end quote, got killed. Some kids? If it were his daughters, would they be some kids? He makes me sick. Mike in St. Paul. All right, let's go back to your phone calls. Idava. Ideva. How do you say your name? Ideva?
Ideva.
Okay, I got it right. In Tennessee. Yeah. Ideva, all right, thanks for holding on.
First, I have to say thank you, thank you, thank you. That comes from my dear friend Liz, whose son is in Iraq, and she loves you. The thing I want to say is regarding the NSA program,
right.
I want to find out whether the White House has been listening to the conversations of Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald.
I bet they have. Why wouldn't they?
Exactly. And there's no way we can know. And, I mean.
Yeah, and as far as that's concerned, you know that his lead investigator, his lead prosecutor, it was announced today, has been nominated for federal judgeship by Bush. Isn't that nice? So he is out of the investigation of these criminals. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, that was for Abramoff. Patrick Fitzgerald is the one with the CIA leak.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Thank you. That's right. It's just hard to keep all the Republican scandals separate.
All the scandals separated. Yes, I agree.
No, it is. And I'm not trying to cover here, a mistake on my part. I mean, it is hard to keep them all straight.
Yes, there's many of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've got more scandals than Heidi Fleiss had customers. they're busy people.
Yes, yes they are. Is that it, Ideva?
That is it, and I've got a group of friends online, and one even has a screen name called Bush Crime Family because of you. We all love you.
Can I ask I've never seen a name, Ideva. How did you get that name? That's such an interesting name.
It's an Italian name, and it's my grandmother's name.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's a lovely name. Thanks for checking in, Ideva.
Thank you so much. You have a good evening.
You too. Colleen is calling from Washington State. Colleen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Colleen.
I just wanted to call in and say thanks for doing your rants. You saved my evenings a lot. And to ask you about this, you know, the statement that Bush made about the FISA law being written in 1978.
Yeah, it's an old law.
How does that matter?
Yeah, really.
I mean, the Constitution was written in 1776.
Oh, well, that's old stuff, too. We're going to fix that, too.
Right. Let's just burn it and start over, right?
He is so dumb. He is such a dumb little man, isn't he? I mean, just ignorance beyond belief.
Well, the arrogance is just... I cannot... My mind is boggled. Just boggled.
I know. I hear you.
I've called everybody. I wrote letters. I did everything, and we're getting ready to start selling things. And we've looked into what we're going to need to do to move. And if midterms don't turn around, like, we're gone.
I know that feeling. Do you have children?
Yes, and I'm going to have to leave my grandbabies behind.
Oh, you have adult children.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So do I. Plus, I have an 18-month-old. And when Kathy and I have talked about what did people in Germany in the 30s, the ones who got out, what was the thing that made them move? Now, I know a lot of Jews left because it was very clear that Hitler was going to kill them all if he possibly could. But people other than Jews, socialists, trade, or just common folk who took a look at what was going on in their country and said, this is no place I want to be. And I don't know. If somebody could recommend a book or an article that and send me a link via email, I'd love to see that. Because I don't know what the tipping point is, Colleen. I don't know.
Well, I think you're reading the perfect book right now, Mike.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I think that says it all.
Yeah.
You know, my husband had never read the book, so I bought a copy so he could read it. And he comes out every evening after he's read it and says, "My God, this is what Rove must have used this for, a textbook."
I think so, at least a training manual. Yeah.
And you know, the more I see it going that way, and if he gets this thing into the Patriot Act where he has the police that can just arrest you at will, you know, what else is left?
I know.
What rights do we have? If you can be held without representation, without any notification, if you can be tortured because they took you to some island that isn't a quote-unquote part of the United States and get away with it, what's left?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. If that doesn't clearly define a police state, totalitarianism, fascism, call it whatever you want, I don't know what definition would.
Okay, so you just answered your own question, Mike. When is it time to get out?
When the midterms
don't turn it around.
That noise you hear are my suitcases snapping shut.
Well, hope to see you.
All right, Colleen, thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. No, seriously, I don't know what to do. I really don't. It's very frustrating. We'll be right back.
Do you really want to make me cry? You took an oath to defend our flag and our freedom, and you kept that oath under siege and under fire.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What's your idea of good news? How about being on a free cruise with your friends and family? Aleve, the pain reliever devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis, is offering you the chance to win a 7-night cruise for four on a luxury ship. Visit AleveGoodNews.com to enter. While you're there, read all the good news Aleve users shared with us, and maybe you can share some of yours, like winning a free cruise, for example. Visit AleveGoodNews.com.
No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry info, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 1-31-06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Users directed for minor arthritis pain.
Dear Gold Bond, I'm a nurse, and washing my hands all day makes my skin raw.
Here's a real letter from Victoria of Connecticut about our ultimate healing lotion.
What a wonderful product. I feel it working even after I've washed my hands.
Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion penetrates fast to help heal rough, cracked skin with 7 intensive moisturizers plus 3 vitamins. It's long-lasting, too.
It works better than any lotion I've ever used.
Can your lotion do that? Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion.
This stuff really works.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. James writes, Mike, at Nuremberg, we all decided that we as individuals are the responsible parties. If I abandon my ability to think and instead believe Daddy, no matter what, I'm a moral obscenity. Support the troops, no matter what? No way. Not in the Third Reich, not now. Anything else is condescending. Yeah, I agree. See, that's a topic you're not allowed to talk about in Bush's America. That perplexed feeling that most of us get about supporting the troops. For people who have a son or a father or a sister who have been vacuumed up by the Bush crime family and sent into a hot war zone, it's horrifying. Kathy, remember the caller we had from Tidewater, Virginia? I think it was on IE America Network. Maybe it was on Air America, who had a son who was in the Marine Corps who was sent to battle area after battle area, and he kept emailing us and letting us know how his son was. And I think the Marine was coming home. I think that was the last email we got, that he had survived and was coming home. And my heart just broke for that man every single night, because this was his son. I support the troops. Bring them home. And when we are putting our soldiers through training, we need to, I guess, reinforce that an illegal order is an illegal order, that you do not stack human beings into piles. You do not stuff an enemy general into a sleeping bag, sit on his chest until he suffocates. You do not beat people. You do not torture people. You do not hold wives and children and babies hostage. Son of a bitch! Who doesn't know this? Excuse me, there I go again. All right, back to your phone calls. That just makes me furious, just because that's going to come back and eat us alive. Parviz is calling from Larchmont, New York. Parviz, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hey.
Nice hearing from you. You are the most patriotic American that I've heard of.
Well, thanks.
Now, I want to, first of all, talk about Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
You know, I think what Cuba should do, they should say that the lease is null and void, because if you rent a house here and do crimes in it, the rent is null and void. The lease is null and void.
That's true.
So he should go to the United Nations and say Americans are committing crimes here, and the lease is null and void, and it should go back to Cuba.
That's a good idea, but the United States would give Castro and the UN Security Council the middle finger and continue to do.
I'm talking about justice now. What the United States do, it just, you know, destroys itself. Actually, the United States is going down the tube with this, you know, Bush and Cheney and Rice and
it is.
Rumsfeld and all
it
of them.
Is. Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to talk about Hamas. You know, Hamas was elected and everybody said, oh, shock and awe. What do you mean? What the hell are you talking about? The municipal elections showed that they won with the landslide. So what is the surprise? So, you know, the propaganda here was to say that they're going to lose, so the people over there will vote for the other side. Now, everybody is saying, okay, these are terrorists, we're not going to negotiate with them. Well, on the same basis, I would say Israelis are terrorists and nobody should negotiate with them. What's the difference? For heaven's sake, Israelis use bombs and helicopter gunships and everything else, and they have killed Palestinian kids, and the ratio of kill is at least 4 to 1, and some people say 10 to 1. So they kill with machine guns that we give them. We give them $3 billion or more, $5 billion every year to kill. And they say that, oh, these guys are terrorists. I condemn both. Anybody who kills civilians, I condemn them. Suicide bombers, I always advise the Palestinians, and unfortunately they don't listen to me.
Hmm.
I know, through through my editorial articles and so on and so forth, I have told them, please put the guns down and go and become nonviolent, and the whole world will come to you. And like in South Africa, we will divest ourselves from Israel, and Israel will have to give back to you your lands.
I hear what you're saying, Parviz. I wish this may be patronizing on my part, because
yeah,
I'm not a Palestinian, but
okay,
but I have to. There's a part of me that wishes there was a Palestinian Gandhi who would lead 3 million Palestinian people to sit down and stay down until the Israeli occupation ended.
And you know what? After that, you know, the Palestinians started behaving like that. They went to the street without any throwing stones, demonstrating, and Israelis opened fire on them. These bastards, you know, are so lawless. You know, the United Nations resolutions, they're over there. They say they should give back the 67 land. They haven't given. They say that it's illegal against the Geneva Convention to build on the occupied land. They are building. The United Nations Court of Justice at Hague says that this wall is illegal. They're building on Palestinian land. The best lands they're taking. They give them Gaza, and they took a lot more than that. They're right now, since the Oslo Accord, they have added a lot of settlements. And these are the land for them. For me, it doesn't make any difference. Those guys changed their religion. You know, they were probably Jews. And they became Christians and Muslims, so they have to be punished because
Parviz,
they changed their religion.
Parviz, hold on, hold on.
When your death takes its toll.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hello, I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola!
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
We share a vision of two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and in security.
You dumb bastard. Oh, my God. 26 before the hour. All right, Parviz, as you know, Hamas has restated its position regarding, as a matter of fact, let me see where I got this. This is, anyway, here's the quote from Mahmoud Zahar. He says, why are we going to recognize Israel? Is Israel going to recognize the right of return of Palestinian refugees? Is Israel going to recognize Palestine with Jerusalem as its capital? And the answers, of course, are no. Here's what I'm concerned about. There was a window opened. It was opened by Jimmy Carter. It was opened by Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid the window's closed now. The Israelis are not going to deal with Hamas, and Hamas is not going to deal with the Israelis. That's what they're saying now.
That's what they're saying. I bet you Hamas is just like Israelis. They will change because the Israelis were in power now. They were terrorists. You know, a lot of Israeli leaders were terrorists.
Well,
the British and the Palestinians,
sure.
And then they got their state and they become politicians.
Absolutely.
Same thing. There's no difference. They're cousins.
I hope you're right, Parviz. I hope you're right.
And I advise the Hamas, if they're listening, please lay down your arms. Please let Israelis shoot you. Let them kill you. And the whole world will come to you. And we will divest from Israel, just like in South Africa. And we get your rights. Please. Do not use arms. Do not use threats. Recognize Israel. Be peaceful. And believe me, that way will get you to what you want.
I hear
and Israelis, you know, I say the same thing to Israelis. Please change your ways. You are just making the whole world mad at you. You don't know how mad the people in Europe and all over the world are at Israelis.
It's a shame, Parviz, that you don't get these people together and knock their heads together on both sides and make them stop. Parviz, I have to go. Thank you. I appreciate you checking. I hope to hear from you again. It's always good to hear from you. I said the other night, the situation in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, Jesus, God, like Parviz says, they're cousins. It's even stronger than that, you know. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. This is Chapter 3 of George Orwell's 1984. You remember when we closed Chapter 2, Winston had come out of the two-minute hate. He'd been writing in a diary. He was taking a horrible chance, just like most of us take now when we use AOL search engines. A horrible chance. And we begin Chapter 3. Winston was dreaming of his mother. He must, he thought, have been 10 or 11 years old when his mother had disappeared. She was a tall, statuesque, rather silent woman with slow movements and magnificent fair hair. His father, he remembered more vaguely as dark and thin, dressed always in neat, dark clothes. Winston remembered especially the very thin soles on his father's shoes and wearing spectacles. The two of them must evidently have been swallowed up in one of the first great purges of the 50s. At this moment, his mother was sitting in some place deep down beneath him with his younger sister in her arms. He did not remember his sister at all, except as a tiny, feeble baby, always silent, with large, watchful eyes. Both of them were looking up at him. They were down in some subterranean place, the bottom of a well, for instance, or a very deep grave, but it was a place which, already far below him, was itself moving downwards. They were in the saloon of a sinking ship, looking up at him through the darkening water. There was still air in the saloon. They could still see him and he them, but all the while they were sinking down, down into the green waters, which in another moment must hide them from sight forever. He was out in the light and air while they were being sucked down to death, and they were down there because he was up here. He knew it, and they knew it, and he could see the knowledge in their faces. There was no reproach either in their faces or in their hearts, only the knowledge that they must die in order that he might remain alive. And that was this part of the unavoidable order of things. He could not remember what had happened, but he knew in his dream that in some way the lives of his mother and his sister had been sacrificed to his own. It was one of those dreams which, while retaining the characteristic dream scenery, are a continuation of one's intellectual life, and in which one becomes aware of facts and ideas which still seem new and valuable after one is awake. The thing that now suddenly struck Winston was that his mother's death nearly 30 years ago had been tragic and sorrowful in a way that was no longer possible. Tragedy, he perceived, belonged to the ancient time, to a time when there was still privacy, love, and friendship, and when the members of a family stood by one another without needing to know the reason. His mother's memory tore at his heart because she had died loving him when he was too young and selfish to love her in return, and because somehow, he did not remember how, she had sacrificed herself to a conception of loyalty that was private and unalterable. Such things, he saw, could not happen today. Today there were fear, hatred, and pain, but no dignity of emotion, no deep or complex sorrows. All this he seemed to see in the large eyes of his mother and his sister looking up at him through the green water, hundreds of fathoms down and still sinking. Suddenly he was standing on short, springy turf on a summer evening when the slanting rays of the sun gilded the ground. The landscape that he was looking at recurred so often in his dreams that he was never fully certain whether or not he had seen it in the real world. In his waking thoughts, he called it the Golden Country. It was an old rabbit-bitten pasture with a foot track wandering across it and a molehill here and there. In the ragged hedge of the opposite side of the field, the boughs of the elm trees were swaying very faintly in the breeze, their leaves just stirring in dense masses like women's hair. Somewhere near at hand, though out of sight, there was a clear, slow-moving stream where dace were swimming in the pools under the willow trees. The girl with dark hair was coming towards him across the field. With what seemed a single movement, she tore off her clothes and flung them disdainfully aside. Her body was white and smooth, but it aroused no desire in him. Indeed, he barely looked at it. What overwhelmed him in that instant was admiration for the gesture with which she had thrown her clothes aside. With its grace and carelessness, it seemed to annihilate a whole culture, a whole system of thought, as though Big Brother and the party and the thought police could all be swept into nothingness by a single, splendid movement of the arm. That, too, was a gesture belonging to the ancient time. Winston woke up with the word Shakespeare on his lips. The telescreen was giving forth an ear-splitting whistle which continued on the same note for 30 seconds. It was not 7:15. Getting up time for office workers? Winston wrenched his body out of bed, naked, for a member of the outer party received only 3,000 clothing coupons annually, and a suit of pajamas was 600. And seized a dingy singlet and a pair of shorts that were lying across a chair. The physical jerks would begin in 3 minutes. The next moment, he was doubled up by a violent coughing fit, which nearly always attacked him soon after waking up. It emptied his lungs so completely that he could only begin breathing again by lying on his back and taking a series of deep gasps. His veins had swelled with the effort of the cough, and the varicose ulcer had started itching. 30 to 40, group! Yapped a piercing female voice. 30 to 40, group. Take your places, please. 30s to 40s. Winston sprang to attention in front of the telescreen, upon which the image of a youngish woman, scrawny but muscular, dressed in tunic and gym shoes, had already appeared. Arms bending and stretching, she rapped out. Take your time by me. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on, comrades. Put a bit of life into it. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. The pain of the coughing fit had not quite driven out of Winston's mind the impression made by his dream, and the rhythmic movements of the exercise restored it somewhat. As he mechanically shot his arms back and forth, wearing on his face the look of grim enjoyment which was considered proper during the physical jerks, he was struggling to think his way backward into the dim period of his early childhood. It was extraordinarily difficult. Beyond the late 50s, everything faded. When there were no external records that you could refer to, even the outline of your own life lost its sharpness. You remembered huge events which had quite probably not happened. You remembered the detail of incidents without being able to recapture their atmosphere, and there were long blank periods to which you could assign nothing. Everything had been different then. Even the names of countries and their shapes on the map had been different. Airstrip 1, for instance, had not been so called in those days. It had been called England or Britain. The London, he felt fairly certain, had always been called London. Winston could not definitely remember a time when his country had not been at war. But it was evident that there had been a fairly long interval of peace during his childhood, because one of his early memories was of an air raid which appeared to take everyone by surprise. Perhaps it was the time when the atomic bomb had fallen on Colchester. He did not remember the raid itself, but he did remember his father's hand clutching his own as they hurried down, down, down into some deep place in the earth, round and round a spiral staircase which rang under his feet, and which finally so wearied his legs that he began whimpering, that they had to stop and rest. His mother, in her slow, dreamy way, was following a long way behind them. She was carrying his baby sister, or perhaps it was only a bundle of blankets that she was carrying. He was not certain whether his sister had been born then. Finally, they had emerged into a noisy, crowded place which he had realized to be a tube station. There were people sitting all over the stone-flagged floor, and other people, packed tightly together, were sitting on metal bunks, one above the other. Winston and his mother and father found themselves a place on the floor, and near them an old man and an old woman were sitting side by side on a bunk. The old man had on a decent dark suit and a black cloth cap pushed back from very white hair. His face was scarlet, and his eyes were blue and full of tears. He reeked of gin. It seemed to breathe out of his skin in place of sweat, and one could have fancied that the tears welling from his eyes were pure gin. But though slightly drunk, he was also suffering under some grief that was genuine and unbearable. In his childish way, Winston grasped that some terrible thing, something that was beyond forgiveness and could never be remedied, had just happened. It also seemed to him that he knew what it was. Someone whom the old man loved, a little granddaughter perhaps, had been killed. Every few minutes, the old man kept repeating, "We didn't ought to have trusted him. I said so, Ma, didn't I? That's what comes of trusting him. I said so all along. We didn't ought to have trusted the buggers." But which buggers they didn't ought to have trusted, Winston could not now remember. Since about that time, war had been literally continuous, though strictly speaking, it had not always been the same war. For several months during his childhood, there had been confused street fighting in London itself, some of which he remembered vividly.
This is the air, beautiful friend. This is the air, my only friend, the air of our elaborate lives, the air of everything that stands, the air.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night, until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There, thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806.
Ricola!
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
An email here from Atul. Mike, I'm sad to say that a Palestinian Gandhi will not work in these days of U.S.-controlled UN and government-controlled media. As an Indian, I have thought a lot lately whether even Gandhi would have been successful in these times. His voice would have been smothered like a child's cry smothered by a pillow on its face. I understand where that comes from, that thought, Atul, but remember it was that Gandhi, unless I misunderstand what he did, I don't think he ever raised his voice. He led by being very, very quiet and let his disciples and his followers get the message out to the people. I still believe passive resistance to me. I know anyone that listens to this program is freaking out right now. Malloy, passive resistance? No, I believe in that strongly. Absolutely. Unless somebody is a direct threat to me, to my life, sure, I'm going to react to that. I'll revert back to the reptilian part of my brain. Someone who's a direct, immediate threat to my life or my wife's or my children, or but politically speaking, I am a true believer where it concerns the application of peaceful resistance as practiced by Gandhi and Dr. King and other people. And the idea of 2 million Palestinians or 2 million anybody's saying, no, this is enough, and sitting down. Violence begets violence. We know that. That's not profound. That's so simple. We know that. I think what a lot of people hear on this program each night is reactive. It's reaction. I see what's going on. I'm enraged. Absolutely enraged, aren't you? What's going on in this country? And the situation in the Middle East has been especially painful to me. I have no relatives there. I'm neither Israeli nor am I Palestinian, but I have Israeli friends. I have Palestinian friends. I have Muslim and Jewish friends who have family and that. And it just, I bleed for these people. I bleed for them. By these people, I mean my friends here in America who have to deal with this. But I think a Palestinian Gandhi or a Palestinian Dr. King is still a possibility. It would be the most radical movement in a part of the world that has just been saturated in blood in the past 50 years, 60 years, just saturated. And there's no end to it. There is no victory. Hamas is not going to win. The IDF is not going to win. It's not. Another 56 years. Another 60 years. More killing. More bombs. More buses exploding. More villages blown to pieces. More dead Israeli children. More dead Palestinian children. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you people? Oh, isn't that easy to say from my perspective? Yeah. But I think I've seen several attempts by Israelis who wanted peace, Palestinians who wanted peace, to try. And every time it's destroyed. It's destroyed by factions within both Israel and the occupied territories. It's destroyed by factions around the world. It's been destroyed by American religious and political and military leaders who thrive on death and destruction, who eat corpses and drink blood and don't want to see peace anywhere. But it's so heartbreaking. It just is. I just wish that there was Palestinian Dr. King or Gandhi. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Your phone calls when we come back.
On Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain, it wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Dear Gold Bond, I'm a hairstylist, and washing hair all day really wrecks my hands.
Listen to this real letter from Nikki of West Virginia about our Ultimate Healing Lotion.
Since I found Gold Bond Ultimate, my hands haven't cracked once.
Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion penetrates fast to help heal rough, cracked skin with 7 intensive moisturizers plus 3 vitamins. It's long-lasting, too.
Now I show off my hands to all my clients.
Can your lotion do that? Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion.
This stuff really works.
Jeff Weiser. The big victory by the militant group Hamas in the Palestinian parliamentary elections has not only thrown into doubt the Middle East peace process, it also threatened the peace within the territory on Friday. More than 20,000 members of the Fatah faction took to the streets in Gaza in angry protests. The most violent arm of Fatah threatened to liquidate Fatah leaders if they join a Hamas-led government. The White House is keeping a cautious eye on the aftermath of this week's Palestinian elections. Hamas, which advocates the destruction of Israel, scored a big upset in the parliamentary balloting. The U.S. views Hamas as a terror organization and refused to deal with it unless the group renounces violence and terror. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says the U.S. position on Hamas is unchanged.
You can't have one foot in politics and one foot in terror. That's a contradiction that needs to be resolved.
He said the Bush administration remains committed to the two-state solution in the U.S.-backed roadmap for peace. President Bush is calling for a full and firm investigation of the murder of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq al-Hariri. After meeting with Hariri's son at the White House, Bush said Lebanon should be free.
Free of foreign influence. Free of Syrian intimidation, free to chart its own course.
Some senior Syrian officials have been implicated in last year's truck bomb assassination, but no indictments have been handed down. There will soon be an alternative to needles for some of the more than 5 million Americans who depend on daily injections of insulin to manage their diabetes. The FDA has given its approval to a first-ever inhaled version of insulin developed by Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. The fight over Roe v. Wade and the Supreme Court won't end with the vote on Judge Samuel Alito. Illinois Now President Bonnie Grabenhofer says the states need to make sure the High Court doesn't have the last word on abortion.
We can no longer depend on 9 people in black robes to protect choice. We have to take initiative in Illinois to protect it here.
She says Illinois can't go back to the pre-Roe days. She's hoping for a filibuster, but knows Alito will likely make it to the bench. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. I want to share this email that came in during the break, and then we're going back to your phone calls. Part of it I have left out because it's extremely personal for the email writer. This comes from Angie in California. Regarding what I was talking about earlier this evening about the military. Dear Mike, I'm so glad you said what you did about the military. There is nothing heroic about what's going on in Iraq. It makes me ill reading about it or seeing footage where heavily armed, highly trained, armored professional killers, which is what the military is, kill innocent civilians, little children, pregnant mothers, entire families of people who are just victims of power plays of the arrogant, rich, and powerful heads of state. How can these defenseless people be any kind of a threat to a real man? Soldiers act like cowards and bullies because it is the mindset of the heads of the armed forces and the heads of our country. I was in the Army in the 70s, so I get my opinion. Thank you very much. I have no interest in attacking soldiers for what they do. They are victims of the Joint Chiefs' sickening lust for death, sold to them with lies and forced propaganda about patriotism and heroism. They are mentally overwhelmed and drilled with notions like you can't ask questions and you can't disobey orders. You can't walk away and you can't listen to your own sovereign common sense, because if you do, you're bad and evil and criminal. It's the most obvious in-your-face example of Orwellism that's been happening in real time for a very long while. It's all a big, ugly lie. The betrayal of true Americans is literally breathtaking. It's important that we feel able to speak the truth as we see it. No one wants to see the soldiers harmed, but the harm is not coming from what we say. It is coming from the lies and manipulation of those responsible for this filthy, disgusting, so-called war. To speak aloud what we see in front of us is never wrong. It's absolutely necessary. A week ago today, I became very deflated, began to seriously consider my reasons for hanging in there and continuing to fight against these criminals taking over our once proud country. Nothing is coming from the Abramoff scandal. Alito is going to be sworn in shortly. It's business as usual, as the liars in Congress do what they always do. The Bush regime is violently disemboweling every good thing holding this country together and smiling while they tell us how much better things are now. With every illegal act, every unconscionable truth revealed, I wait for the good guys to show up and do what so urgently needs to be done. I don't think there are any good guys left. It makes me feel demoralized and angry and hopelessly wondering, how can people be treated this way? It's wrong. It's as simple as that. From Angie in California. Let me say again, as far as the Alito nomination is concerned, if you want to make an effort to fight, and I think we should, Democrats.com has all the information. If there are certain senators you want to target, you can get that information yourself. You know how to do it. But I believe everything that's necessary to respond to what's going to occur, Or preemptively move against what's scheduled to occur Monday at 4:30 in the afternoon Eastern Time, and that is a vote on cloture in the U.S. Senate. That is a vote to strangle any attempt to filibuster this Nazi bastard. So that's kind of it. 4:30 Monday afternoon, the vote to apply cloture. Apply strangulation, apply death, apply murder to the U.S. Constitution. That vote is going to be held 4:30 Eastern Time, Monday. Most of the bloggers and the progressive, liberal, democratic websites are hammering home the fact that there has got to be a response from us. An incessant, unending pounding against these senators, these Democratic senators. If you want to pound against a Republican senator, good luck. They don't care. But pounding against the resistance of the Democratic senators may, perhaps, possibly, maybe, one shot in a thousand, a scream in the dark, whatever you want to call it, it just may work. And it may not. Make the effort. Just make the effort. That's all. Democrats.com. Has most of the information. Okay, back to phone calls, please. Will is calling from Michigan. Will, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I had a cool experience today. Congress critter from the 8th District here in Michigan had a little town hall for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he saved the best for last. He called me at the end of the... He called on me at the end of the little BS session that he was having there.
Yeah.
He was one of only two congressmen from Michigan who voted against the McCain anti-torture amendment.
Uh-huh.
And I said I'm a little bit concerned about your vote on your vote against that because don't you think condoning torture would unnecessarily provoke retaliation?
Right.
And he started giving me his BS response, and I he'd been giving long-winded answers to other people all throughout this event. And
right.
I was tired of it, so I cut him off in mid-sentence, and I said, Congressman, with all due respect, I think John McCain knows a little bit more about torture than you do. And the crowd just exploded with applause.
Really?
Yeah. It was great. If you want the longer version of the story, you can check out my blog.
What's the address?
It's 1ONE.angrypatriot.us.
1.angrypatriot.us.
Yep.
And 1 is spelled out, O-N-E.
Yep.
Okay, we'll check it out.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for checking in. Appreciate your call. Ray is calling from Lisbon, Maine. Is that right, Ray?
That's right.
Welcome to the program.
Right. Thank you, Mike. Listen, before I begin here, I've been in radio myself, public radio, for a long time. I'm mm-hmm. up here in Maine. I got into XM radio because I had to get Air America. The only station we have here in this state is down in Portland, and it's just too far away. It's an AM, and of course, as you know, when nighttime comes and they have to go directional, we just lose the signal. But I have been listening to you and everybody else every single night. I got my sister one of these things for Christmas, and
wow.
She listens dedicatedly. We get sick and tired of watching C-SPAN. We love it, but it's just all it is. It's just like pounding your head against a wall every night. You just hear, all of this crap. And by the way, Mike, your style and everything on radio, I think, is therapeutic. It is necessary. You know, it's like we all have to scream over what's happening here in this country, because if somebody doesn't come to their senses sooner or later, it's going to be chaos. It's going to be destruction. It's going to this country is really going to go down.
I hear that.
We are seeing the end of our, Rome fell. It's like it's our turn, and this is how it's going to happen if we don't do anything about it. And I can't say enough about how wonderful it is to hear you every night. And you just rage on, my friend, rage on, because you're doing it for all of us. You really are.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, but keep in mind, the reason I do this is because it gives me an out too. If I wasn't on the air, I would find somebody who did what I do, and I'd be out there screaming in tandem. But I hear what you're saying. Thanks a lot for checking in, Ray. I do appreciate it. All right.
I appreciate that too, and I hope I can talk to you again.
All right. Sure. Take care. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Have a sleepless night. Introduce a catheter, siphon up your life. Come on the radio, I love you. Be a fulfilled day. You're an idiot reminder of how we got to be. Come on the radio, I love you. Be a fulfilled day. You're an idiot reminder of how we got to be.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi,
Danny?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remember them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Have you experienced a random act of kindness? Someone you haven't seen for years suddenly come back into your life? Do you know a positive story that inspired or motivated you? Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. For years, Aleve has been devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis pain. Now, Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Email from Hal in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Mike, a couple of weeks ago, the subject line, would Saul Alinsky leave now? A couple of weeks ago, you told us to check out Saul Alinsky. I picked up Rules for Radicals and am devouring it. I can't believe Saul would have packed up, old Chicago scrapper that he was. And here in the Windy City, we're still fighting. World Can't Wait folks are leafleting and stickering the town in preparation for drowning out Bush's lies next Tuesday and sending buses to D.C. on the 4th. A new activism is sweeping the country, and to hell with the anemic opposition in the DLC. Stay for the good fight. Yeah, I hear that loud and clear. Saul Alinsky had three words: organize, organize, organize. From Daryl in Seattle: Mike, I have two young girls and I'm scared to death about their future. I called both my quote representatives end quote with my concerns about Alito. Maria Cantwell's aide told me she was still considering Alito. What's to consider? I screamed. It's time for the Democrats to make a stand here on principle. I don't care if they don't have the votes or not. I don't think much of Cantwell anyway. Just another spineless career politician. We are lost, I'm afraid. These are dark days, and it breaks my heart to watch my girls and try to stay in the moment with them. Yeah, that's the hard part. He's absolutely right. When you have little kids right now, you know how kids just totally, totally live in the moment. Literally, the moment. Kathy and I were talking about this the other day, watching Molly. It's just, it's incredible. I think everybody should go get a little kid. go steal one, go adopt one. It's just amazing. You know, around 18 months, when they're right in the middle of the terrible twos, that's the best time because, man, it's just pure, raw, gut-level energy.
I could do a whole show on missing children. I could. We could talk about it. We could talk about Hansel and Gretel themes. How would that make you feel? We could find all the little children. The ones on the cruise ships. The ones who eat worms. The ones who watch pro wrestling.
Anyway, what Daryl was talking about, you know, trying to stay in the moment with your kid, that is so difficult when you realize that beyond the moment looms this dark thing. I'm telling you, folks, I don't know what it's going to take, but we have got to get the country back. We've got to stop this. It's still in the initial stages. I know it feels like it's not, but it is. It's still in the initial stages. But the pieces are being put in place. When the hammer comes down with all the pieces in place, oh, God. A couple of you have sent me links tonight, and I'll be curious to read what you've sent here about how the Germans knew to get out as Hitler rose to power, what it took. You know, not Kristallnacht, not the Enabling Act, but the little the indicators that, uh-oh. And I just don't want to do that. Do you? I don't. I mean, this is a different age, isn't it? This is not Germany in the 30s. This is the United States at the just past the cusp of a new century. We got to figure it out. Got to figure it out. From veteran Mike, I was in Crawford, Texas over Thanksgiving with Cindy Sheehan, Daniel Ellsberg, and others protesting outside Bush's fake ranch. Ellsberg gave a beautiful speech referencing Thoreau about the cost and significance of war protest. He said that to be an advocate of disease, pestilence, and hunger is nothing in the eyes of the government as to be an obstructionist to the cause of war. As a war protester, you are the biggest threat to the government. He said the anti-war movement must grow, because when the next 9/11 happens, and he said it will, some of us and some of you will be taken to detention camps. This from a man who has been arrested over 70 times in the name of peace. He also said that if you, as Thoreau instructed, become your vote instead of just a mark on a ballot, be prepared to be distanced from friends and family, even to the extent of divorce. I've been to Crawford many times, to D.C., have been in Newsweek magazine, in local and national papers. My sister and in-laws don't talk to us anymore, and friends we've known for years have written us off. But if that is the cost of doing what's right, so be it. It's from a veteran. From a history site about the rise of Hitler, This is from Herb, our friend in Mississippi. Once in a position of power, Hitler tightened his grip using the Nazi majority. He had a national state of emergency declared. Germany became a one-party police state as all non-Nazis were forced out of office and individual freedoms were taken away. The government could read mail, tap phones, and search homes without a warrant. All opposing parties were banned and their leaders jailed. The Enabling Act of March 23, 1933 was easily forced through a Reichstag, a few political opponents, and gave Hitler dictatorial powers. Oh, never mind. It can't happen here, right?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806. Ricola!
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard. Now available in three sizes at Walgreens and other fine stores.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ah, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
We'll be right back.
doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Lee is calling from Denver, Colorado. Lee, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Lee.
How's it going?
It's going fine.
First of all, I have to tell you that your show is so refreshing. I've been listening to you for at least a year now, and you're just awesome. You ease my mind considerably, considering the Nazi propaganda that this country has been under.
Well, thanks. It's kind of you to say that, Lee.
Well, you're quite welcome. Actually, I'm a 50-year-old peace freak, a.k.a. Jesus freak. I got a deferment from NAM, otherwise I'd be in Canada now. Jerry Falwell is a lost soul and may as well be a Nazi as far as religious freedom is concerned.
Isn't that the truth?
Same with the entire right-wing cabal. Their idea of religious freedom is fulfillment. Is fulfilling the prophecy of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a pothead, but the fact is hemp is an excellent natural, clean-burning energy resource, which would definitely be great for the American farmer, as well as America's economy, especially mm-hmm. for our trade deficit. Rigid religious attitudes create groups like Hamas, just as they did Hitler's Nazis, going at least back to the Spanish Inquisition. Americans simply need to think more logically, and if they would, we would not be in continual wars.
You were taking notes, right? Well, I had you on hold for over an hour. You were writing things down.
That's right. Continual wars as we have been since World War II.
Right.
It's really, really a sad state that this country's been brought down to.
Oh, it's horrifying. It's horrifying.
And really, we're all fighting for our lives, actually, when you come down to it, because I really think that we're on the verge of Armageddon.
Well, certainly political Armageddon, certainly Armageddon where it concerns the destruction of the Constitution of the United States.
Definitely.
You know, when I think about how many people in our history have died defending that Constitution, whether it was justifiable in being defended or not is beside the point, as far as I'm concerned right now, for the sake of this discussion. But when I think about the people who have died defending the Constitution, and then you have some two big little punk like Bush, and these
who never even served in a war. He got out of Nam because his old man had the money to get him out.
Right, and then you have these bookends, these evil bookends, Cheney and Rumsfeld, who also are cowards down to the very core of their rotten souls. And I think this is after millions upon millions of Americans have literally given their lives to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and these little two-bit sons of bitches come on the scene and try to destroy it all. It makes me furious, and that's what you hear on this program at night, absolute fury that people of this caliber, Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld, which is zero caliber, have the audacity to come on the political stage and destroy what millions of Americans have died for. It just enrages me.
Our souls and minds are in perfect unity on that, brother.
Well, Lee, thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. You take care. Tom is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tom, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like for you to address something. My wife and I are going up to Washington, D.C. here next week, and not only to see the Capitol, but we're curious about that protest that's going on up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to travel up there, and was wondering why it's not being addressed out there, why I'm not hearing much about it. I have nothing to do with that organization or, you know, just wanting to know what's going on.
Well, you're talking about worldcan'twait.org. We've put a lot of information about WCW out there. A lot of websites are covering it. They have their own website. I think we have reached a point. As a matter of fact, I got a couple of emails tonight, but I think we may have reached a point in this country where a lot of information now travels out just beneath the radar Not that it's secure information, because if we're using the internet, we might as well be using neon signs at 10 foot high, as far as NSA is concerned. But the information is out there. The word spreads. It works its way through and across the country. So I think it is. I do believe the information is out there, Tom.
Okay, Mike. Well, listen, it's been about 40 years since I felt the good thud of a police baton.
Oh, my God.
No, we're just wanting to go up there and enjoy ourselves, so I hope there's a big turnout.
Well, I hope so, too. Just take care, all right?
All right, sir, and thank you.
All right, Tom. Appreciate you checking in. Steve is calling from Springfield, Massachusetts. Steve, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike. How are
hey,
you doing?
Doing fine.
I was wondering if you ever heard of this woman who she seems like a ray of sunshine to me in the Israel-Palestine thing. Her name is Samia Halabi, and she's an artist, intellectual, communist, who's curating a gallery tour of Palestinian artwork, which is...
Yeah, I think I have. I have a good friend who used to live here in Atlanta named Tony Paris, who spent considerable time in... both Israel and the occupied territories, working on a book about Palestinian art, and I think he is the one who told me about this particular woman. So, in a vague sort of way, I am familiar with the name. I'm not familiar with what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Great. I've yet to do a web search, and I'm going to and find out more about her. I was really very impressed. I saw her in a public access program, and while. For me, there's some difference, or she was a little extreme for me. I mean, she has not one damn good thing to say about the state of Israel. But incredibly, and I think that she shocked her audience, she, while just deriding Israel terribly, she reminded the audience that it was both Jewish and Palestinian communists who have for the last 60 years borne witness to massacres, mm-hmm. who have fought for social justice together.
Mm-hmm.
And she also spoke about how one should be careful of falling into this trap of this old idea of the Jews manipulate the United States like a marionette. She says it's absolutely the other way around, and brought up the very interesting thing about how the Balfour Declaration had to do with the incredible leftist accomplishments of Jews in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and that European bourgeoisie wanted to get the Jews the hell out of Europe because they so feared.
I've read that slant, that particular take on European history where it concerned the Balfour Declaration and the efforts to move the Jews eventually completely off the European continent. So sure, I've said before, were I of a certain this racial group or that ethnic group or that particular religious group or whatever you want to call it, who had suffered the kind of torture and torment that the European Jews have suffered or American blacks have suffered long ago, I would have been dead or in prison or in a mental asylum. And probably dead, because I would not have taken what Palestinians have put up with, the Jews have put up with, blacks, Native Americans. You know, that's why I have a very difficult time, quote, taking sides, end quote, where it concerns the problem between Israelis and Palestinians.
Well, this sounds a little oxymoronic, this description, but I think this woman could be a flashpoint for peace. Because this woman is fair. I have some differences with her, but what I meant was flashpoint for peace sounds oxymoronic, but this is an interesting woman that I am going to check out more, and I hope other people do.
All right, good idea. Thanks for the information. I appreciate you checking in, Steve. All right, quick break. A little bit early if you're watching your clock, but we're going to take a break now. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Sons are living in the ground. Peace on earth. Jesus, in the song you wrote, the words are sticking in my throat. Peace on earth.
hear it every Christmas time. But hope and history won't rhyme, so what's it worth? This peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
It's about 10 before the hour. Mozart would be 250 today. Is that right? 250 years old? It's almost as old as the president of Air America. Thanks to the crew in New York who provided this program for your listening enjoyment tonight. That would be our two engineers, Justin Yuen and resident rock star Jason Isaac. Dee Neal is our associate producer, who also is responsible for the program, getting out over the airwaves. Thanks, everybody. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, who archives the program, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Mark is calling from San Francisco. Mark, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you, and thank you for being there. Mike, I want to support what you were saying about our military men, and that is that they really have to become aware of what we're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
They have to react. They have to start to actually talk about this, to realize what's happening. Now, I come from a family that my father was in the Army's Air Force, and he landed right there. You know, he worked as a grease monkey in North Africa and went up Italy and so forth, got his toe blown off and so forth, lost many of his buddies. My mother, she also worked for that war effort, World War II, against fascism. And she worked as a social worker, you know, in, you know, screening men who were going into the Army at the time. Now, that was a just war. When I was a young kid, she started to tell me, especially with the Korean War, she said, I did not raise you to be cannon fodder.
Right.
And when it came to the Vietnam War, I knew well before, I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she wouldn't let me, and I didn't want to. But what we really, I do believe that the people in today's Army, the enlisted men, have to wake up and get through the propaganda and realize what's going on. And their voices will make a difference. They are a part of this democracy.
Yeah,
I am very quickly.
I completely agree with you. I am so upset with the officer corps. There's really not a whole lot, and I understand that a soldier can do, that an enlisted person can do.
Understood.
But the officer corps, I think, is somehow has become seriously flawed, if not perverted. Any country that produces an officer corps that sanctions, I don't care what the civilians say, these soldiers know what the rules are. They know what the Uniform Code of Military Justice is about. They know what the Geneva Conventions are about. They know what constitutional law is about. Military officers are not stupid. Some of them in our military are religious nutballs who should have been drummed out of the military with their rank stripped from them a long time ago. But, you know, soldiers, rank-and-file soldiers, the grunts, so-called, they are utterly and absolutely brainwashed. I don't believe
that can change.
Well, once again, it depends on...
It did change in the Vietnam War.
Sure, it depends on the training, and it depends on the leadership provided by the officer corps, even the non-coms. It has to come from the top, because anybody who's been in the military knows that they absolutely take from you everything that you are and replace it with everything they want you to be. And that's just the way it works. Because
they change, and they do change. And we need that now. Because we really are on the verge, as you have said, it is and it's only patriotic to say this, we're on the verge of going fascist. And we have to stand up. Everybody, those people in the military are, those enlisted men, those grunts are civilians, and they have every right to express.
Yeah. Well, I hear what you're saying. It's just that once you're in the military, a whole new set of rules apply, and you open your mouth and you're liable to...
I do understand that. But I do remember I went through the Vietnam War. I mean, I took 3 days to get myself out of the military when it came to induction. And that was at the Oakland Induction Center, if you would know. That was the hardest one of them all.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't make any kind of quota. And I made a point of it, and I saw other people make a point of it. And those people who are now in that military, I also remember back then, they made a point of it. And they must do that. They are citizens.
Well, I hear you loud and clear. I do. Mark, and thanks for checking in. I appreciate what you had to say. It makes perfect sense. You know, my response that soldiers really don't have a whole lot of latitude in how they respond. On the other hand, if the training has been proper and military and correct, they do understand that unlawful orders are orders that do not have to be obeyed. As a matter of fact, they're orders that must be refused based on not just our own code of military justice, but international rules. And again, I put the blame where the blame to me belongs, and that's in the officer corps and non-commissioned officers. I don't care what the branch is. These people especially, they know what they're toying with when they take a 19-year-old young man, and it's mostly young men, into the military. They know what they have, and they know you know, how to strip out of that person any sort of moral or ethical sense that he may have had put in there by his church, by his parents, by even not his church necessarily, by the Boy Scouts, whatever the hell it was, whatever organization. It is easy to strip that out when that kid is 18, 19 years old and replace it with something that feels like an ethical sense or a moral sense or a sense of justice, but in fact is not. It's a political point of view that all of a sudden is given exceptional weight. And then when you take that young man and arm him in a way that no fighting man has ever been armed in the history of the human race and turn him loose without supervision, what the hell do you expect to happen, Truth Seeker? Oi, thanks for participating in the program this week and tonight. I do appreciate it. Take care. Have a good weekend. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Dear Gold Bond, I got through menopause fine, but my skin took it rough.
Here's a real letter from Barbara of New York about our ultimate healing lotion.
I searched everywhere for a moisturizing lotion, but nothing helped. Then I found Gold Bond Ultimate.
Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion penetrates fast to help heal rough, dry skin with 7 intensive moisturizers plus 3 vitamins. It's long-lasting, too.
Now my skin looks as young as I feel.
Can your lotion do that? Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion.
This stuff really works.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AliveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.